This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, we got the old school Kingfish Shootout, not this Saturday. That is going to be next Saturday, and you can check it out on the Action News Jax Now stream. We're excited about this. We're excited about our network. We have been. We've been putting a lot of different things on there. Some shows included are Committed to the Uncommitted from Nimnik Buick GMC today. We'll be at the dealership around 2 o'clock for that show. But 2 o'clock Saturday, June 8th, we will have live coverage of the old school Kingfish Shootout. And it'll be about 4 hours worth of coverage. We'll also have the Jacksonville Armada playing on Friday and Saturday. So a bunch of stuff here on our streaming stations with Action News Jax Now and also Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. We'll replay it on the network on Sunday. So if you're out there fishing, you get a chance to go watch it back. Some great opportunity. You can find it on actionnewsjax.com, the Action News Jax app. And of course, if you're sitting in your living room on Apple TV and Google TV and all the rest, Paul Dozier, you got it all. So wherever you watch all your favorite shows, you can watch the Action News Jax Now app, and you can watch the old school Kingfish Shootout as well.
Yeah, man, we're excited about it. It's next weekend. Can't believe it's here already. It seems like we just finished up with Wahoo and right back into another tournament. So hopefully the weather will hold. The weather looks great right now. The fishing is as good as it can be for kingfishing on the beach. So the bait's here, the fish are here, and people are excited and signing up, getting ready to go.
Well, Paul Dozier runs this thing. He comes in, talks a little fishing from time and time again, and happy birthday, first of all,
too. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I mean, you should be fishing on your birthday.
Well, I that's kind of a tradition I've had, but, you know, other things. Usually our tournament's always the second Saturday of June. Well, this year it happens to be June the 8th. Mm-hmm. Which that's probably the earliest it can be. So next year we'll go back. So I'll have an extra week built in, so maybe I can go fishing on my birthday next summer.
Paul, I'm no expert or anything when it comes to fishing, but one would assume that when it gets super hot outside, then the water temperature probably rises a little bit. Yeah. I mean, now does that make a difference in terms of fishing? Do you want the water a little warmer? Do you want it cooler? How does that work?
Yeah, well, I guess king fishing on the beach, the prime temperature is about 80 degrees, and we're already there. And in July, it'll get... They can tolerate 85, 86, and stuff like that. It gets much warmer than that. Then they don't like that too much. But they can anywhere from the mid 70s to the mid 80s is prime for kingfish.
So when you say they don't like it that much, they just kind of
maybe go offshore, try to find a little cooler
water. Yeah, that's a lot like me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to go outside and go run around when it's 95 degrees outside, but I'm chilling on the couch, laying down.
Brent Martin, Austin Lane, Brent and Austin Show here on Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network, visiting with Paul Dozier. They got the big old school Kingfish Shootout coming up, and there's some big time prize. We've been running this promo for a while. You got a $100,000 plus boat. You're going to have a bunch of boats in it trying to win that thing, but there's other great prizes like $10,000, basically lottery ticket, right? If you catch a fish, it can be 2 pounds, 8 pounds. Doesn't have to be a big one.
You know, this is a family fishing tournament. We have 15 junior angler prizes. We have top 10 lady angler cash prizes, and the Nimnik lucky ticket is something that I dreamed up, and I thought, you know what, if everybody has a chance, you know, if you go catch a fish and you send a picture in, you don't even have to weigh it. You're in a drawing to win $10,000 cold hard cash from the Nimnik family of dealerships, which is awesome, and it creates a good atmosphere at the awards, and you have to be present to win, so we get a good crowd for the winners as well. So it's kind of works well for everything.
So that's the story, by the way. A couple of years ago, a newlywed couple,
right,
won that $10,000. What a way to start!
Yeah, they were either getting married the next weekend, and they did not have they didn't have the funds for a honeymoon, and they fished the old school and caught an 11 or 12 pound kingfish, which is a fine fish, but not a tournament winning fish, and won the lucky ticket, won $10,000, and went on a honeymoon.
That's awesome.
Dang.
Great stuff. Yeah. Great story. All right. So, hey, to register, which I'm sure you've had a lot register already, but there's an early registration for the Old School Kingfish Shootout coming up next Saturday, but you got to get in by tomorrow, right?
Well, you don't have to get in by tomorrow, but if you plan on fishing, tomorrow is the deadline. It's $250 a boat, and then it goes to $350 after that, and then the day of registration next Friday, it will be $400. So if you plan on fishing, save the money and go ahead and get on in. And yes, we've had a good sign up. We're on pace to have another good tournament. We had 654 boats last year.
Record,
and,
right?
Yeah, that's a record. And we're real proud of it. It's awesome. There's many, many ways to win. We pay 25. Top 25 gets paid. Actually, top 26. We have 26th place this year. A sponsor came in and said the first guy out of the money is going to win $1,000. So that's pretty cool too. We have a kickoff party, a captain's meeting down at the St. Augustine Fish and Oyster House. We have two captain's meetings. We have a crowd this big. It's kind of hard to get everybody there at one time. So we have one at 4 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. They'll have drink and food specials for everybody down there. And it'll be a good time. Then Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, the awards. And Sunday brunch, Sunday fun day. There'll be some live music, and it's going to be a really good time. We're looking forward to it.
Well, by the way, I was at that kickoff party last year. That's an event now.
Yeah,
that place is rocking.
That was awesome until the rain came, right?
Well, yeah. And speaking of, you can't do anything about the weather, but you have the early look at the forecast for next Saturday.
Yeah. I tell everybody, all these people worry about weather. Fishermen, we're weathermen. Mike Burrish is a really good weatherman, but sometimes I think that I know more than him, which I don't. But but I don't mean that negatively, but I look at the weather. But I think Mike would even tell you, looking at weather 2 weeks out or 10 days out, I mean, come on, man. We don't know what the weather's gonna be this weekend, much less next weekend.
Correct.
But it looks really good, right?
That's a good start.
I tell everybody don't look, and I've been looking. I look at the 15-day forecast. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is weather.com. So nice. It looks good. It looks like a light offshore wind, which makes the conditions very calm along the beach. A slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms. I mean, it is June in Florida, and but 20-30% instead of 60-80%. And so we'll take our chances with that. Light offshore wind, calm weather, it should be great.
Could be really good, obviously, and that would be a big part of it. Tell us a little bit about this from the Wahoo Shootout.
Yeah.
You guys made some not only national headlines, but this in the Florida Sportsman made the cover of it. This got global reaction with some of the big catches that you got in the Wahoo, right? I think there was 119 or 129 plus a 109 caught in the same day, something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that right there is our winner. That's Captain Frank Vining. That's Rob Dunnigan there and Larkin. And Paul Zaboni, they caught a 119 and a 108, I believe, in the same day.
Wow.
And just to put things in perspective, that's probably like having a four-home-run baseball game if you catch one of those.
Yeah.
To catch two of them in one day is like something that's never been heard of.
So we're talking about that 119 there. What would you say in terms of how long would that put up a fight for before you can bring it in the boat?
It's 30 or 40 minutes. These guys are really good, but it's a finesse fishing. They're using lighter tackle, and it's not like it's a man-on-man type thing. I believe Larkin, the lady there, she caught one of the – I believe she was the angler on one of those fish. So it's not just all about strength. There's a lot of finesse and a lot of skill involved to land a big fish like that on light tackle. But 11-pound three-fish aggregate, I don't think you could be beat anywhere in the world.
Well, and that's why I made those kind of headlines. And it is pretty wild, the fishing world, right? I mean, you guys have educated me more than I know about it. But just following along in the social media stuff, you really start to get people from everywhere. I think you guys had people from New Zealand and jumping in and talking about it because, if you love to fish, that catches your attention.
Well, Wahoo are caught in the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean. They're caught all over the world. And, and I was a boat captain in Midway Island in the Pacific Ocean in 2001, and we had tremendous Wahoo fishing out there. For those who don't know, Midway Island is 1,200 miles northwest of Honolulu, and there was three sport fishing boats there, and it was basically virgin, And we caught Wahoo. Well, I probably caught hundreds of wahoo in the season, maybe up to 1,000 wahoo. It was crazy, as good as you've ever seen, but we never caught one over 70 pounds.
Interesting.
So if you think about, we probably had, I'd say, 40 or 50 fish, 30 or 40 fish over 70 pounds in this year's tournament alone. You know, it's world class. They have some very good wahoo fishing in the southern Bahamas for big wahoo. And there's some big wahoo over in the Gulf of Mexico around Venice, Louisiana, and whatnot. But I don't think anybody's got them bigger than us.
Yeah, overall, just from the first 5 months of the fishing season, from wahoo to anything else, and you might have indicated this a bit with your weekend of kingfishing, but has it been good?
Yeah.
Just overall.
Everything's good. You know, it's been a good spring. We actually had a great spring of blue marlin fishing out here, which better than normal. There's probably been 15 or 20 blue marlins released here in the last month. Lauren and the kids and I went fishing on the beach. When I say on the beach, we were like a mile off the beach. We were fishing basically like the guys are going to be fishing in the Kingfish Old School this weekend, and we caught – Lauren and my son Bradley and my friend Mike Bell and his son Douglas caught 12 kingfish in 2.5 hours on Sunday morning.
Wow.
And as you can see, the beaches in the background on that picture, we're right there. And we had a couple nice fish. That was one of the smaller ones Lauren's holding there, but we had fish up to 30 pounds, which will be a could be a contender next weekend.
Yeah, this Paul Dozier with us, Old School Kingfish Shootout again coming up next Saturday. Early registration tomorrow. You can still get in after tomorrow, but you want to get in by tomorrow for $250. Had a lot of boats, over 650 last year. Looks like it's going to be some good weather, we hope. We're fingers crossed next weekend for a great tournament. And part of this tournament, again, I think it's worth repeating, is just that you can go a mile off. That's why you started this thing.
Yeah.
This isn't just a big boat deal.
Yeah.
This is just for everybody, family friendly. You can go on a dock, I think, and if you catch something.
Well, I mean, I don't know about a dock, but it's an everyman's tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a tournament. It is truly old school. This is how I grew up. This is how a lot of the old timers grew up and fishing on the beach. And you know, you're not going to break the budget. $250 entry fee. You still have I tell people all the time, one of the coolest things that dawns on you sometimes is some family, hopefully this week, next weekend, is going to pay a $250 entry fee, and they're going to go out in their regular boat, not some $500,000 boat, and they're going to win $125,000.
Yeah.
And that's life-changing, man. It really is. And it's not going to break the bank to do it. There's most tournaments is a multi-$1,000 commitment to do it right. And this is a few $100s. You know, you can't buy bait. You can't buy bait, which there's a tournament this weekend. The bait truck comes up from South Florida. It's $150 a dozen for bait.
Ooh.
So it's a two-day tournament. Every boat buys 3 or 4 dozen. So do the math. I mean, it's just outrageous. So it's an everyman's tournament. A lot of little boats compete with the big boats, and they can compete on a level playing field, and that's why it's been so successful.
Yeah, well, look forward to another big one, and happy birthday to you, by the way. Thanks for stopping in and giving us the lowdown on all the king fishing about heading up in the month of June.
Well, we appreciate you guys' support, as always. And speaking about the live feed that you said you guys are going to broadcast, we've had people watch that thing all over the world too, and it's cool because if you're fishing the tournament and you're in the weigh-in line, they're watching the live feed and they can watch their
That's
crew member
great.
weigh the fish.
Cool.
And you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your computer, you can watch it on your TV. So we appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, and you guys have broadcast it in the past, but this time now we can see it in more places too, again with our Action Sports Jax 24/7 network. Yeah. Our Action News Jax Now stream. We're going to have a lot of things going on this weekend, so as we say goodbye to Paul Dozier, good luck with the event, can't wait to have it on. Old School Kingfish Shootout next Saturday, June 8th, 2:00. Our coverage starts again. That's on, if you go to our actionnewsjax.com site or our app, you'll see there are several streams. There's a weather stream, there's a news stream, there's a sports stream. Well, it's going to start, be on the Action News Jax Now stream. We'll actually have the Armada on the sports stream on Saturday, but then we'll replay it on the sports stream multiple times on Sunday and even the days following. So that's how you can find it. That's how you can get it. Action News Jax app, actionnewsjax.com. And again, if you, wherever you stream from your living room or at home, not necessarily your phone or your computer, you can just download the Action News Jax Now app, and you got it right there at your fingertips. And you can watch us each and every day on the show, too. So really fun. We're looking forward to it. We're excited to be broadcasting it, the Old School Kingfish Shootout. Paul Dozier, happy birthday. Good luck next week, man. We'll be right back on the Brent and Austin Show.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back. Brent and Austin Show, a little bit of everything here, and I don't want to lose sight of what we were talking about with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because I can forget a thing, and I'm remembering right now. So let's get to it. We were talking somehow, I don't even know how we ended up getting all the way back to the collapse of the Jags, which I do think is a wild exercise in sports psychology, what happened to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Somewhat inexplicable at times, but trying to find the answers. And I think, listen, this is somewhat important. The Jags, it's not important for us to find the answers. It's important for them to find the answers, right?
Yeah, so we're not getting paid for this, Brent. Yeah, we're not getting paid to find the answers.
But we're trying to help, and we've helped in the past, and we can help some more. But I think it did lead us to a point where, is Doug Peterson, or can he be good as the guy, as a front runner, as a guy that has expectations on his football team, as a guy with the target, the hunted instead of the hunter, all those cliches. Can he be that guy? And it's been a situation where in the past, he really hasn't been. They came out of, I don't know about nowhere, but the low expectations of when you lose Carson Wentz with the Philadelphia Eagles of all teams, and you have to go to your backup. It's like, hey, MVP Carson Wentz by at that time. He was in that running. Okay, season's over. Oh, no, it's not, says Doug. Here comes Nick Foles and carries him to the, helps him to the Super Bowl. The next year, though, expectations back on them with the trophy, the statues, the everything else. And they falter a bit. They do make a later run when they were up against it. And then never lived up to the rest of the expectations in Philly. Ends up getting fired. In 2022, they're just trying to fix things in Jacksonville. No expectations whatsoever. 3-7. Now you really have no expectations. And they come out of nowhere and make a playoff run. Plenty of expectations last year. And this is where it gets muddy for me, Austin. Because really, they did deliver. Through the first 11 games, they went 8-3. They're sitting there playing for a top seed. This is everything you would have imagined, how you would have wrote the script. Now, it got done a different way. 5 wins in 5 different stadiums, 1-2 start, lost to Houston, got crushed by San Fran. Your offense is not as dynamic and dominant as we thought it might be. So there's some differences, but the bottom line is they were 8-3 sitting there, and then all of a sudden, can't finish. So it leads to the question of, okay, can you deliver when everybody expects you to deliver? Is that a trait of coaches, players? Is that a, let's talk coaches because we're talking about Doug. Do you learn that? Did Andy Reid have to learn that? Did Bill Belichick figure that out? What's the recipe?
So, I mean, you can take this many ways in terms of how do you coach a team that's the underdog and how do you coach a team that is the front runner? And if I was going to coach a team that was the underdog, you can get by with being a little more of a player-friendly coach because now, like, expectations aren't high from the outside public. There's not a lot of noise. And, like, listen, players play with a lot of pride. And if you give a player a chip on their shoulder, that can go a long way. So I think, you know, whether it was last year or I guess 2 years ago now with this Jaguars team where – I mean, they were expected to contend, but I don't think we really saw them going on the run that they did on, you know, as an underdog last year, especially at that halftime against the Chargers. And we didn't expect them really to beat the Kansas City Chiefs or even be competitive against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that game came down to one or a few plays here or there. So I think having that player's coach mindset helps you when you're the underdog. I think when you're a front runner. And once again, like I think locker room has a lot to do with this in terms of what type of guys you have in the locker room. But from just a coaching perspective, if you're a front runner, then yeah, I'm going to need a little more of a Bill Belichick type to make sure these guys are still in tune, make sure these guys are still held accountable. Because when you are a front runner, when expectations are put out before you, you almost get a little complacent, right? It's almost like, we got this. You get a little more comfortable. When you're an underdog, there's no room to be comfortable. It's either you make good on it and you put that chip on your shoulder or you get embarrassed. When you're a front runner, there's a lot more eyes and there's a lot more room to be complacent. So to answer your question, give me the player's coach if you're the underdog. give me the more old school type philosophy if you're a front runner.
Yeah, and I don't know what that means, because again, you played for Andy Reid. I don't know where that fits. He's done very well. I mean, Andy Reid, if you go all the way back to the Eagles days, you listen to the record, he was like 5-11, then 11-5, 11-5, 12-4, 12-4, 13-3. Now, 13-3, they went to the NFC Championship, which I would assume they thought they were going to anyway in 2004, right? And they end up playing the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. They were the NFC champions, I should say, playing the Super Bowl in 05 here in Jacksonville. But they had come off 12-4, so the expectations were there. Like, they were able to deliver on those expectations. They were a team that people were viewing as a favorite. Now, the following year, after going to the Super Bowl and losing to the Patriots, they went 6-10. Mm-hmm. Then they rebound, go 10-6, 8-8, 9-6, 11-5, 10-6, 8-8, 4-12. He gets fired, and then he goes to Kansas City, where, again, winning record every single year, high expectations after what they've done. And so he's just winning. So I don't know if there's any common ground there with the mentor Andy Reid. The only common ground I can find with these kind of runs are the quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think Andy Reid's had a lot of great players in his locker rooms. I think that goes a long way as well. And keep in mind, I was only with Andy Reid for essentially a little bit of a spring in a training camp, and that was about it. But I remember, like, you know, talking to players about Andy Reid, of what made him so great. And I think, and I forgot who even told me this, or like this conversation that we had, but like the best way it was summed up is that Andy Reid knows to let players be players and monitor themselves. Andy Reid will treat his team like adults, but if you stray off the path a little bit, he's not afraid to get in you a little bit and let you know. Now, it's a rare occurrence, and I maybe saw it twice in training camp. But let me say, when I saw it, I was scared. Because I'm like, oh, what happened to this jolly old dude who had, like, fast food Fridays, you know, who wore the T-shirts and everything, like the Tommy Bahama T-shirts? Like, okay, there is a little bit of a fire within Andy Reid as well. Now, you don't see it all the time because you don't have to see it, but you get the sense that it's there. But I'll say this about Andy Reid, and I noticed this in training camp, and I'm sure it's still this way. A lot of his focus and a lot of his energy goes into that offense. Like, I don't think he really can balance necessarily being like the old school, in your face, accountability type of guy and be arguably the best offensive play call right now in the league. Like, I don't think he can balance both those things. So I think he leans more towards the play calling aspect. And once again, he has the guys in that locker room that can help monitor his messages of being a culture.
Yeah, and that culture comes with the success and figuring it out. I mean, I do think you figure it out along the way. And that's what I'm saying about Doug. This isn't necessarily a major criticism yet, but I think this is a big year to say, okay, listen, we're figuring things out. How different will Doug be? And we don't know that. We don't know day to day. But I think some of this will be told in their offense. Like, what, yeah, are they evolving their offense a little bit? How maybe this reason alone is why calling plays is such a big deal for Doug Peterson. Take back the ownership of it, right? That this is going to be on me. I'm not putting this on anybody else. It's going to be my job to get it right and figure it out. And if we don't get it right, it's because of me. Mm. You know, so maybe that alone is why he should take it back. There's a multiple of reasons I think that he should take the play calling back. But if I'm Doug, is that the thing that changes? So, Ambi, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if it's even a fair label. Doug hasn't been a head coach for 20 years in the NFL. He hasn't been a head coach for 12 years in the NFL. I mean, we're going 7 years. It's a 5-year stint in Philly. It's a 2-year stint here. And it's a different deal. Both have been different circumstances. So, and he's had more of a mixed bag than guys like his mentor, Andy Reid, or even Bill Belichick in New England, where it was just win, 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 win all the time. So I think we're still trying to figure out Doug and how good he is. I come from the belief that he's a very good coach. Like, I really like him, but I do think he has to figure out this part of it, and maybe that's Trent Baalke helping with the players that they brought in. But this is going to be a big year to test that theory.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for the people who belong to the belief that, you know, the Jags really struggled as being the hunted, I see it. Obviously, you can't totally disregard it because of the collapse. But at the same time, they knew going into the season they were the favorite. They knew they had a first-place schedule, and they started 8-3. I feel like to go with the, you know, the Jags, they don't play well when they're the favorite, when they're the hunted. Peterson, he doesn't, you know, he's not used to it. Nah, because they did it. They did it for more than half of the year. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, and they looked like the team that was going to live up to or surpass expectations again. Now, obviously, that's what makes the collapse so much of a collapse, because it was a polar opposite of the first half of the season. So I think it's totally unfair to Doug and to all the players in this sense to say they couldn't handle the first place schedule. And I know it catches up to you. The NFL season was a long one. So, yes, I'm not saying that the first place schedule didn't have anything to do with it, because it 100% did. But to just totally discount that this team went 8-3 when all of those expectations were there all offseason leading up to that first 11 weeks is a miss.
You want to go or you want me to go?
Go ahead.
I think there's a reason why coaches, GMs, everybody, when they're trying to bring a free agent in, they're trying to bring a player on the outside of a roster into their team, they watch the last game of the season, because you're only as good as the last game of your season. So if you're going to justify and say, all right, they got off to a hot start, great, yeah, they absolutely did. And then how did they finish? To me, a team is defined of how they finish. No one, like, 10 years from now, when we're talking about records and things, no one's going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, they got off to a hot start. Remember? No, it's they didn't go to the playoffs. They the wheels fell off. They choked. Simple as that. So I get it. They handled adversity well. They handled, in terms of all the outside noise, well in the beginning of the season, but you're defined of how you finish. And you remembered of how you finish. And they didn't finish good.
Yeah, 100% agree. I'm just saying, in this, when we're looking into the future of saying, is this a theme? Is this a thing that we are not good as the favorite? I just can't get there yet.
Yeah, it's. By the way, I think it's a fair assessment from Austin too. And it's well said. I think it reminds me of. I'm trying to use a good analogy here, but. It reminds me of the baseball manager that has to figure out, hey, we're a good regular season team, but can we be a good postseason team, right? It's one thing to win 105 games in the regular season, but if you're not built or know how to win in the postseason, who gives a damn at the end of the day? I mean, it was fun for 6 months, but it sucked for 2 weeks. It's like a little bit of it has the feel of like a relay race. Or in track and field or something like that, right? Where, hey, you got to figure out, that's great that you started great, but you got to figure out who's going to kick at the end and beat you, you know? So I get what you're saying. You got to get to the finish line. At the end of the day, you got to get, the idea is to get to the finish line. And there are a lot of teams that, you know, roll off a few wins here or there, but aren't good enough to get to the finish line. And Kansas City's a great example of this. Again, I would say it multiple times during the course of this year, I felt like the Jags were actually a better football team than Kansas City. And then they couldn't get to the finish line.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think Kansas City ever won five in a row. Maybe they did win five in a row at one point. But
listen, I understand that the Jaguars got off to a hot start, and I'll give them their flowers there. Well, once again, Doug Peterson had him ready to play early on in the season. But my counter argument to that would be, through all those ones that they had, what was their identity?
Yeah, they didn't have one.
Well, then there you go. Like, sure, you won. And sure, you went on a nice little streak and London helped you out and all this stuff. What was your identity? If I was going to explain to a friend who doesn't live in Jacksonville, who barely watches the Jaguars, of who the Jacksonville Jaguars were halfway through the season, I would say they're the top of the division, but what would you say for the identity? You couldn't say anything.
Yeah. You know, here's this is just one last, I'll put a bow on this before we hit a break, as we approach the noon hour. The Chiefs actually lost 21-20, right, to Detroit to start last year, and then they rolled off 2-4-6 wins in a row. So they were 6-1. They lose to Denver, which was a weird loss, right? Denver wasn't very good. And then they beat Miami.
But hang on, Brent. That's that one loss right there where it's like, yeah, that was that's not who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they go on this stretch, though, Austin, really all the way through that Christmas Day game. We're from late October to Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
They are 1, 2, 3, and 5. 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs are 3-5 in an 8-game stretch. Like, they were a shell of themselves that started 6-1. But to your point, how did they find it? They beat Cincinnati. They beat the Rams to end the year. And then, obviously, they were able to play their best football, really by far, in the postseason and on the road. And I don't know what they found. I don't know what happened. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes played good football in the playoffs. We know that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure he played terrible football in that 3-5 games, 3-5 stretch either. I mean, does Patrick Mahomes play terrible football? So what changed? I don't know.
Listen, I mean, I can't remember how the Chiefs season went. But no, but you have the in front of you, right?
The games? Do. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How many? Because I know they lost the Raiders too, I think.
Well, the Raiders was the Christmas Day game. They beat New England. They lost to Buffalo, Green Bay, Philadelphia, and Denver.
How many of those games did they give over 30 points? Because, once again, their identity, to me, even when they lost, like, they had a solid defense.
No,
none?
None.
Okay.
No, yeah, they lost 24-9, 21-17, 27-19 was the most they gave up, 27. Okay. That was at Lambeau. Okay. They lost 20-17 to Buffalo, and then they lost 20-14 to Vegas.
And this kind of echoes the point, and you brought this up a lot, and I've agreed with you. Kansas City, they're always known for their offense, offense, but their defense really carried them this season and carried them in the playoffs. I think that's a classic example right there.
By the way, Mahomes in that stretch, and just from a statistical point of view, you'd be like, whoa, this is what he did in that 3-5 stretch. This is even in wins. Here's what his yards were, 240, 185, 185.
Yeah.
That was in a win against Miami, by the way. 177 in a loss to Philly, 298, like a 300-yard game,
okay.
210, 270, 305 against New England, and then 235 against Vegas.
Do you know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like Daniel Jones with a better arm.
And a bigger trunk?
A bigger trunk. I mean, I don't know, man. I haven't seen the Daniel Jones trunk. I don't know.
It wasn't a great stretch of football. Like, you could take that. That's an 8-game sample, guys. When I talk about a 3-game sample, that was an 8-game sample where it wasn't very good, and they kind of figured it out and found a way. I guess in the moral of the story is the Jags got to find a way, and they got to find a way at the most important time of the year. It's way more important to win 5 games in 5 different stadiums in December and November than it is in October.
Yeah.
Which, there's proof in that evidence, by the way, because the Jags went 0-5 in October and made the playoffs, went 5-0 in October and missed the playoffs, which is crazy. I don't think they're going to try to get either. Well, 5-0 mark would be good. I think they only play 4 games this year, though, in the month of October. Hey, lunchtime coming up. Check out Donato's Pizza. You can save Brent20 is the code. 20% off Donato's Pizza Mandarin Jack's Beach on your order. I think we're going to make a pizza order for tomorrow, actually, here at Action Sports Jack's 24/7 network. So we'll use the code. You can, too. Brent20 at Donato's Pizza. Save 20% off on a beautiful day here in Jacksonville as we head into the final days of May and into the heat of summer.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.